Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Third hour here on the show. Getting ready to dive into these games. Take you around the NFL week one. We're doing it from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. So, hope everybody's having a great Friday. I'm going to make our picks coming up at 5:40 Eastern. A little appearance here by Mr. Sharp Tierney in an expanded role. Looking forward to that. But, Teak,
you have the the shades.
Do I have the shades?
I just want to make sure. Oh, nice.
Do I have that? I got new shades for it.
That's all I wanted to make sure.
I got the shades, brother. I was actually thinking about really getting in character and, like, I don't know, going with, like, this silk shirt and the buttons open and the gold chains, like a real, like, old 70s
nice.
Mafioso look. But I don't, because there's a delay on TV,
yeah.
I don't know when I'm on camera exactly and when I'm off camera exactly.
Yeah, I hear you.
So it's a little tough to use props, but yeah. I got the shade. Shades
we need,
ready
we
to
need
go.
Like a feedback monitor right next to
I know.
Us so we can see it real time.
That's next. That's coming. Sure, he's putting in the budget for it. All right, so we do it, and we've done this now for a couple of years. We take you around all the games, at least the games that we won't hit when we make our picks here. So we strap you in, we spin you around. Time for a little Teaky and Tierney whip around. Let's go.
The Chicago Bears, the Detroit Lions.
All right, Teak, the big news here is Mitchell Trubisky getting the starting nod, and the perpetually on the treadmill Detroit Lions, who are trying to learn how to win. Thin ice for Patricia. Thin ice for Nagy. What do you got going
on
here?
Yeah, it is. Look, I think it's much thinner in Detroit than it is in Chicago. But if Mitch Trubisky goes out here and lays a ostrich egg, I mean like a huge one, then you know that Mitch Trubisky and Ryan Pace, the general manager, are going to have to answer for this. And it may cost them their jobs, but you can guarantee if Matt Patricia has a lackluster season, even with Adrian Peterson there, and even if you give him a ton of carries and he ultimately breaks Barry Sanders' records as a Detroit Lion.
Yeah, that would be nice.
What is he, fourth right now, heading to fourth? It's not going to be enough. He's
nope.
He's got to show progress, and Matt Stafford has got to – I don't know, at some point have a season where those pieces around him come together and it lives up to his talent. He played really well last season, Matt Stafford, before he got hurt. In fact, some people were saying he was one of the top three or four quarterbacks in the league.
He was playing well
at the beginning of the season, but there's never been the team around him. So this NFC North rivalry game is a great one to start with.
And keep in mind, if you think the Lions are going to, you know, bunker down on defense, Darius Slay, their outstanding corner, is now in Philly. So that's one half of the field that now is a little different. Matt Nagy back to the Bears. We got to figure out who the heck we are offensively. Here's Chicago's head coach.
We didn't score enough touchdowns last year. We never established who we were as an offense. We never had an identity. We were too inconsistent in different areas. But ultimately, in the end, it's did we ever establish an identity? And I would say no, not last year. We did not. So this year, that's going to be a theme for us.
Well, got news for you, Coach. Got a job, buddy. Got a job. Right?
Exactly. That's what you're supposed to do. Establish an identity. They take on yours otherwise.
Figure out who you are. All right, moving on.
The Philadelphia Eagles, Washington football team.
You know, obviously getting into the weeds for the pick segment. There's a lot of trends here that kind of like Washington to certainly hang around and maybe steal this here. I don't know that I'm feeling that. We do need to see a healthy Eagles team this year. There's no way they should have won that division a year ago, even though I've got respect for their organization. Dallas should have won that division. They just allowed the Eagles to backdoor it. They've got a lot of issues. If they want to be a championship team, they've got to uncover and overcome. But I think we're all waiting to see how long does it take for Ron Rivera to make Washington competitive.
Yeah, I agree, BT. And look, it's going to be old school here in a sense because they're focused on the defensive side of the ball. And they don't necessarily have the running game per se, especially after letting Adrian Peterson go. We all know what happened with Jared. Darius Geis, but J.D. McKissic and Antonio Gibson, who was their first-round pick this year, he may end up being the guy, even though he's a third-round pick this year. But it's going to be on the defensive side. Chase Young, their 2020 number one overall pick, he looks like a man already. We had the update a couple days ago. Jonathan Allen was a first-round pick from 17. Daron Payne, first-round pick from 2018. And Montez Sweat, first-round pick from 2019. That's their D-line. You know where their money is. Mm-hmm. It's going to be up front defensively. And I believe that this Eagles team can be got after. We know that Jason Peters, their big, great left tackle, almost left the game. They brought him back, and he was going to play guard. Now they restructured his deal, and he's going to play tackle again. Yep. There might be some issues with this Eagles front line, and we always know that Carson Wentz has some injury issues over the years. So if he gets knocked around, I think the Washington football team might find a way to steal this game, surprisingly.
I think it could be a little competitive. You know, you're hearing Zach Ertz squawk about the lack of a contract here. That's been in the news the last couple of days here. And from Ron Rivera's point of view, you can look at it one of two ways. Hey, we're playing the NFC East champs, a daunting way to start the season, or we're playing the NFC East champs, and who knows, maybe it propels us to something good. Here he is.
I think it's one of those things that you can build momentum off. I mean, remember, they're the standard now. They won the division last year, been to the playoffs, was it 3 out of the last 4 years, and a Super Bowl and won it. So the thing that we have to do is understand that this, guys, this is the measuring stick. You want to win your division, you've got to be able to beat teams like this.
Real quick here, Teague. This time next year, are we sitting here talking about Dwayne Haskins as an absolute foundational piece, or... Well, you're not so sure.
I think we are. I think we are waiting a little bit before we make that determination with Dwayne Haskins. I like him. Remember, I saw him in Ohio State. I thought he's a good kid. I think he's got the ability to make the throws, but he's got to learn. And he didn't have any preseason this year, so it might be a little bit of a rough learning curve early on for Dwayne Haskins in 2020.
We shall see. Moving on.
Las Vegas Raiders, Carolina Panthers.
A lot of new stuff for the Panthers. New coach, a slew of new defensive picks. One thing that's going to be the same is going to just run C-Mac into the ground. New quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. Ron Rivera, pardon me, Derek Carr, obviously the quarterback for the Raiders. Mariota's out for a little bit. He's hurt, so he's going to miss, I believe it's the first 8 weeks on IR. And here's one thing that's a little strange. With no preseason, there's been no film to slice up, something Derek Carr is not used to in terms of getting ready for the opponent.
A lot of college or high school games where you didn't even have any film or didn't even really know who was on the team, kind of a thing. And so you just do your best. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go out there. We're going to do our best.
Darren Waller, Henry Ruggs, Josh Jacobs. They got some weapons, man. They got some players on offense.
But did that sound confident that they were going to be great?
Yeah, not really.
Not really. But he brings up a great point, BT, and I'm glad you played that, because think about this. It's a new system in Carolina. Defensively, that's all different. Offensively, and we know we're going to get a heavy dose of Christian McCaffrey, but it's Matt Nagy and it's Joe Brady from LSU. We don't know what they look like offensively and defensively for the Carolina Panthers. And if you're the Raiders, you're like, I have no idea. We're going to see it on game day. I mean, you can't discount how hard that is to prepare for a team. You have no idea what they're going to run. You have none. You don't know what their tendencies are.
Yeah.
You don't even know what they might be tinkering around with because you haven't seen it. So this game, and I think all of the games this first week, are going to be interesting, a feeling out session as they go. But there is some pressure on Derek Carr, for sure. We know this. John Gruden doesn't have any. He's still got 6 years left.
Yeah,
Derek Carr has some pressure on him.
Yeah, and I've got the Raiders as a playoff team. If they were to lose this week one and stumble, that would be
surprising.
A little disconcerting, yeah, for sure, as we keep the carousel moving. Let's go.
Los Angeles Chargers, the Cincinnati Bengals.
All right, Anthony Lynn, the former running back, he's thinking like a DC. He's got his defensive thinking cap on. He's not treating Joe Burrow like a rookie.
Joe's a winner. You know, people can say he only did it for 1 year, but what he did at LSU was remarkable, and I don't see him slowing down much in this league. You know, I think he's just that type of quarterback. So, you know, our hands are going to be full dealing with Joe.
Yeah, and you know what? That injury to Derwin James, who's now got a little bit of the injury bug on that resume. The star. Yeah, he's hurt a lot, the star safety. That's going to be a little more appealing if Joe Burrow's taking some shots down the field. And you know what? Joe Burrow's got some weapons. He's going to take some shots
down the field. No, of course he is. He should. It's what made him who he was at LSU. His downfield accuracy. Hell, he was great overall, but his downfield accuracy was like 80-plus percent. It was ridiculous how good he was. He's got a running back and Joe Mixon, who's not dissimilar to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who we saw go off for Kansas City last night and was his running back at LSU in that national championship team. But if I'm Anthony Lynn, I am crushing Joe Burrow right now. I am crushing him with blitzes and dogs and coming from all different areas of the field to confuse the hell out of him. Even if I do it one time, I'm making him think many, many times about what's coming. And for the Chargers, this is really, can Tyrod Taylor be a good steward for the next, you know, whether it's 8 weeks or whether it's the entire season, this Chargers team in L.A. that has a good chance of being decent. But it's all going to be dependent on quarterback play.
Hunter Henry, Eckler, Keenan Allen, really good player from Cal. Keenan's still only 28. People think he seems a lot older, but he's still a relatively young guy. I've been watching a matchup with Chris Harris, who's no longer on the Broncos. Mm-hmm. They've been going after it in Hard Knocks, so Chris Harris now on that defense. We'll see. I mean, eventually the Chargers need to put all this talent together, something that they've failed to do last couple of years. Moving on, Teak.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the New Orleans Saints.
Hey, listen, let's not bury the lead. Tom Brady's new. He's got new teammates. He's got new verbiage. Tom Brady trying to get everybody on the same page fast.
I've watched a lot of these guys, my teammates play. They've watched me play, but now we're actually going to be on the same field doing, you know, trying to accomplish the same goal. So we're going to have to try to, you know, get up to speed as quickly as possible.
Well, he's going to have to do without Mike Evans in all probability, downgraded to doubtful. So does that make Gronk more of an interesting play, or is that more Godwin's territory?
Yeah, I think Godwin is going to be more of the guy downfield for this team. But Tom Brady's not a downfield thrower. His accuracy isn't necessarily great in that category. But
I don't know, Teague. Bruce Arians told us he's been throwing missiles all camp.
He has, but that might be Bruce Arians being a gameman. But look, O.J. Howard and Rob Gronkowski are going to start at tight ends in this game this season. Cameron Brate is a really good. I mean, he's a great second option. He's a really good third. He's a great third option. And so I think that what we'll see is two tights out of this offense without Mike Evans out on the field. They're going to run the ball. They're going to do what Tom Brady does best, put him in play action pass type situations, and then be dependent upon this defense. JPP is healthy. He should be great opposite of Shaq Barrett on the defensive side of the ball. The one vulnerability, obviously, for the Buccaneers has been the same vulnerability for the last couple of years. Their secondary is young, and with the New Orleans Saints, who have the ability, not the propensity anymore, but the ability to air it out, you know where the Saints are going to attack, and you know where Sean Payton is going to attack this team. Put stress on them in their secondary and see which 40-year-old can come out on top after the first game of the season for this NFC South matchup.
And let's see if both 40-year-olds are still standing deep in the season. Most pundits believe that both the Bucs and the Saints will be prominently featured in January. Who knows? Maybe one of them into the first week of February, but a lot of football before we get to that point. Let's bounce to the NFC West, Teak.
The Arizona Cardinals, the San Francisco 49ers.
You know, I said earlier in the show, there's the air quality with all the wildfires out there. Yeah. It's hovering in that 200 range.
So what will they do? Will
they wouldn't play the game.
And so they just postpone it, or will they, like, move it?
I don't know. I saw a tweet from a newscaster, not a sports guy.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And I don't know, would they have, logistically, with no fans, could they conceivably move it to Arizona? Could they try to play the next day? I don't know, but it's an issue, and it's beyond the side story. You can derail the game.
Yeah, I mean, they got to be having this contingency happening in real time for the NFL. They got to be thinking about how to do this. I think, honestly, you could play it. Just pick up and move. I mean, it would suck travel-wise. But it's pick up and move and go to play the game in Arizona so he doesn't get too disrupted. It would be – it's not necessarily a home field disadvantage because there are going to be no fans. There's no fans throughout the season in L.A., the L.A. teams, the 49ers, I don't know what their initial protocol is.
Right now, I believe it's the first month, I think, they announced.
Yeah, I think you're right. But that aside, let's hope it does get played, because this is one of the more interesting, if not most interesting, matchups of week one, BT.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray taking these next steps. He was really good as a rookie last year. He's got more weapons this season. That offensive line, which we've talked about a couple years ago, was just a mishmash, is now starting to gel a little bit. We talked to Justin Pugh, one of their guards for our Tiki and Tierney two-a-days. So you know that offensively they're going to get better. Chandler Jones is still a beast on the other side of the ball. But the 49ers, they crush you. And they crush you offensive line-wise and run it down your throat. They crush you defensive line-wise. We talked about the Washington football team with all those first-round picks. Well, the only team that might be able to rival them with top picks on the defensive front seven is the San Francisco 49ers.
But they got rid of, you know, DeForest Buckner is now with the Colts. They did lose one of them there.
True, but then they drafted Javon Kinlaw.
I hear you.
To take his place. I mean, it's like every year.
Yeah, there's other Eric Armstead, Solomon Thomas from Stanford.
Man. It's been amazing.
I thought they had a good draft. They're going to try to run you to death, exotic run schemes. Here's the bottom line. Cliff Kingsbury knows it's a tough week one matchup.
We know the type of challenge we have going against the 49ers and how good of an organization and team that is. And we're going to have to play our best. And so keys this week will be, you know, working it like games, the operation sideline, you know, not committing penalties.
NFC West is going to be awesome. Let's get to the last one here, Teak.
The Dallas Cowboys, Los Angeles Rams.
You know, I love this. With no preseason games and obviously the head coach of Dallas, you have a lot of expectations. A lot of coaches in this position might say, well, it's only the start of the season. And yeah, we don't want to overreact. Mike McCarthy saying, this will lay a foundation for our season. Very aggressive take from the new Dallas head coach.
We have a 20-game plan here. You know, everything we do is about stacking success and putting them in the right position physically, mentally, emotionally to grow throughout the season. But we're at full steam ahead in the most important games of the year.
You got Amari, you got Gallup, you got CeeDee Lamb, you got Zeke, you got the O-line, you got some interesting additions on defense. Listen, I've got the Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
A lot of people like the Rams as a sneaky winner this week, and I think Dallas handles biz.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, we talked about the Rams a lot. They lose Todd Gurley, not that they were giving him a lot of carries, and they replace him by a committee, I put that in quotes, but it's really going to be Cam Akers. He's already listed as the starting running back, the first-year player from Florida State. He's really good, and he's really dynamic. And if he can in any ways be a run threat, it will help this quarterback situation, which has been it's been up and down. Let's put it that way. I love Sean McVay still as a play caller. I think he's somewhat limited now with skill on the skill position side, but that shouldn't deter them at all. The only thing that can are the Dallas Cowboys playing up to their expectation. They had the same one last year. And despite the fact that they missed it, I think it's actually greater this season because of the pressure on Dak Prescott to prove that he's the guy. Now, he probably is not going to say he ever feels that, but you know he certainly feels that, especially after seeing all these other guys get paid and him not.
A lot of good storylines. Week one, there it is. Tiki and Tierney, the NFL whip around to get you set up with the start of the NFL season. So, Tiki, I know you got to hop on a flight. You're doing a college game. Are you with us next segment, or are you bouncing?
No, I'm going to bounce. I got to get to Newark. But
go for it.
I'm doing, for those who don't know, doing North Carolina versus Syracuse, which is the ACC opener. So I'm heading out to Newark Airport, and I'll be listening to the new Sharp Tierney in the car on the way out there.
But nice. Have a great, it's Compass Media?
It's Compass Media.
Have a great call. Chapel Hill, great spot. Enjoy it. You've been revving up their quarterback, so let's see if they deliver
for
you, man.
Sam Howell, he set an NCAA FBS record for touchdowns for a freshman, 38 last year. It's only 7 interceptions, too.
Oh, here comes the research. All right, get to Newark, man. I'll say have a great weekend, Teak.
See you, brother.
You got it, pal. Enjoy the games. Have a great call, no doubt. All right, coming up next here. Let's get into this. Ryan Day from the Buckeyes, speaking of college, issued a pretty interesting statement calling out the Big Ten. So we'll squeeze that in, and then the shades are never far behind. It's almost time to transform into Sharp Tierney, and we're going to expand the pick portfolio this week. You guys demanded this. I've given you a lot of winners over the years, so 6 isn't going to cut it. We're going from 6 to 10 against the spread. Nice little combo, college and pro. I got some winners, hopefully, although obviously in week one, you want to tread lightly. But before that, we'll get to Ryan Day and his words for the Big Ten coming up next right here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can choose to have them delivered right to your front door with free shipping on most orders over $35, or order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. You can have your battery tested free of charge while you're there. And if it needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price. Like SuperStart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices, every day.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Do you know that right now Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So, what are you waiting for? Just visit geico.com to learn more. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, getting ready for some college football tomorrow. I think there's 23 games, full slate NFL coming up on Sunday, Monday. And, you know, it feels a little normal. Last night felt a little normal. You know, 16,000 people sounded like 50-ish. And was it Michaels or Collinsworth? I think it was Michaels who said at one point, and he was right, because I've actually seen this a lot with my team, the way people were dispersed and scattered around the stadium, it almost had the feel like the ambiance of a blowout when the home team is getting waxed and the only people that are remaining in the stadium are just the truest of the diehards. Those people soaking in their last beer, or fans of the opposing team who's winning and they somehow infiltrated the stadium. You just see like swath of empty seats, or really, really treacherous weather, like after lightning, whatever it might be. But it wasn't that bad, you know, and tomorrow college is, you know, I want to get into Ryan Day. College is so different because, you know, the NFL is about the players, and don't get me wrong, you know, like the pageantry, the music, you know, what's the song, Sunday Night? Deesa, how's the Sunday Night song go? I can't get it in my head. Been waiting all day for Sunday night. I like the one with Shania better, right? The one then, who does it now? What's her name? I miss Carrie Underwood. That's good. I think Shania's better. But that, like, that gets you revved up a little bit. It does. You know, the overhead camera shot, and here we are, get a look at Arrowhead. Like, that's cool. But then the game starts, and yeah, you might notice a cheerleader. You might notice, you know, the flight crew or whatever the local team calls their support staff, the boot, whatever it is. But college, boy, it, like, the soul is just not there. You know, I need the pageantry. I need the tailgating. I need the crazy students with their shirts off in, you know, 19 degree inclement weather, you know, souped up on Lord knows what, having a good old time like we all did in college. And it's going to be gone for a while, if not the entire season. But Ryan Day, the head coach at Ohio State, I mean, listen, the guy raises an incredibly great points, plural, when, you know, he gets after the Big Ten again for their inconsistencies and why aren't we playing. You know, just think about this. Ohio State right now is ranked number 2 in the country, and they're not even playing, which is humorous / sad in itself. But you're the head coach of Ohio State with at least 15 pros on your team, probably 3 guys that are going in the first round, right? And you're sitting there, and you're doing nothing while Clemson's getting ready to play tomorrow, Notre Dame's getting ready to play tomorrow. It's just, it's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. So Ryan Day is ticked off, and, you know, the inconsistent messaging with the conference has been what's been so alarming here. So he issues a statement through the school on Thursday. This is yesterday, at a possible return in mid-October, all right? All over the map. Maybe spring football, maybe Thanksgiving, then President Trump weighed in, then suddenly there's a mid-October-ish timeline that's floating. Now, that's been rebuffed. I don't know if they're going to play, and I don't know when they're going to play for sure. But here's what it said. He wrote, "While I understand the Big Ten Conference's decision to postpone the football season because of health and safety consideration, the communication is key." This is just a complete verbal slapdown of the higher-ups at the conference. "The communication," and rightfully so, "of information, the most basic thing, transferring of information. Hey, here's what we're thinking. Here's what you need to know." He's ripping it apart. "The communication of information from the Big Ten following the decision has been disappointing and often unclear." What an indictment. Nobody's going to get on the Big Ten for not knowing necessarily what to do, certainly early, as they formulated their plan. And, you know, exercising patience, both Tiki and I thought, was the prudent play. Why rush into this? You know, kick it down, all right. Back end of September, all right, mid-October. You could stretch this thing into February if you had to. So the rush to get out there was nonsensical, but so too is this. And it really is unfair to the student-athletes. It's unfair to the parents, and there's been a lot of rallies with parents of students in the Big Ten. I just don't get why, like, what the hell is so hard about getting in a room with the true decision makers or getting on Zoom and crafting, you know, three or four sentences that, you know, encompass the entire situation, let everybody know, here's what we're thinking, here's what we're in the process of doing. They never did that. It's failure at the lowest, at the highest level, which is just utterly unacceptable. So Ryan Day's right, you know, and that's just a classy way of saying you suck. You know, you've left us here. Really, you've left us holding our helmets. And who's got to talk to the kids? Me. Who's got to talk to the parents? Me. And you're not giving me anything concretely to state. What else did he say here? Oh, now's the uptick. First the hammer job, now the uptick. "We still have an opportunity to give our young men what they've worked so hard for, a chance to safely compete for a national championship this fall. I couldn't possibly be any prouder of how this team, our medical personnel, athletic director, and president have stayed together and managed through this extremely tough time with so many unanswered questions. The Big Ten Medical Subcommittee's done an excellent job of creating a safe pathway toward returning to play in mid-October." See, that's a good job, because the toughest job here are the people who are responsible for the medical evaluations and the medical protocol, because it's been tough. I mean, the most brilliant people that run our country, there's been, you know, fluctuations, and this is not a political statement. It's just there's been a lot of, you know, hits and there's been a lot of misses. So I like that he, you know, gave props here to the medical staff and the medical subcommittee, as he said. But he threw a big dart at the people who deserve it most, the higher-ups of the Big Ten. Just utterly incompetent, at least pertaining to the messaging. And again, we've been on board with this prudent play. Smart, but, I mean, come on, man. Piece something meaningful together so everybody knows what you're thinking. You know what I'm thinking about coming up next? I'm thinking about money. I'm thinking about loot. I'm thinking about picks. I'm thinking about hammering the spread. I'm thinking about transforming into Sharp Tierney for the first time this year. That's next. We've got an expanded, I'll tell you about it on the other side, but we've got an expanded format. We've got a little tweak here, basically a new segment. All right, so we'll do that after Bob Huesler's update. But after that, around the bend, Sharp Tierney. And I'm dropping the picks, and hopefully I'm winning some money, hopefully starting off quickly. Here's Bob's update that will make the picks. Bobby. CBS Sports Network back before we get ready to pump out some picks, make a little scratch, a little loot, a little coin. Time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And this one pertains to basketball. Catherine up in beautiful Toronto All right, what's your prediction for tonight's Raptors-Celtics Game 7? Oh, boy. First of all, this is not one that I'm really inclined to bet. This is a tough one. I really believe strongly the Celtics just have a lot more talent. But they execute. They are tough. They are well coached. I'm going to still roll with the Celtics here. I believe I read this morning in the history of Game 7, 61% of the time it goes under. Not that Catherine in Toronto's looking for that, but I'll just, since I'm already in sharp tyranny mode, I'll give you that. But I do think that the Celtics win. I don't think that they rout them. I say Celtics by 5 or 6. I think they're the better team. I think the Celtics find a way to win. But boy, the Raptors, so much respect, and they obviously have a chance to win this thing and move on. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. So it's the first Football Friday, and it's just so nice to get back into it, man. There were just points where it just seemed like this day would never, never come. And here we are. And we had a chance to talk about Pat Mahomes last night, which was phenomenal. What went right for them? What went wrong for the Texans? We did our season preview the other day. But I'll tell you, listen, one of my favorite things, you know I love making picks. And you know that I take a lot of pride in this. I try to win. I try to win myself money. I try to win you money. It's hard. So be smart about this. But we were talking as a show, and Teak's doing some games this year. And I think Tiki likes picking games. I don't want to speak for him. I think he enjoys it a little bit. He doesn't relish it like I do. I love this stuff. So what we decided is to show it. It's my boy, so he's obviously not disrespectful. But I'm better. I'm better at this. I pick winners, all right? And rather than have put Teak in a bad spot where he's picking games he might be calling, he's going to scrap it, all right? And I'm going to do, instead of 6-pack of picks, I'm going to do 10 every Friday. It could be 6 college, it could be 4 NFL, it could be 8-2, 7-3, 9-1, 5-5, however I want to, whatever hits my eye. The object is to win, all right? That's the object. So the research is in, and we'll have a little fun. Take it seriously, or don't take it too seriously. Proceed with caution. Let's see how we start. The key's always jumping out of the shoe quickly. Hopefully we could do that now. Let's rock it. Here we go.
Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen.
Every show makes picks, but this show actually makes picks that'll put money in your pocket. And we've got nearly 10 years of evidence to back it up. Buckle in and get your wallets ready as BT pops on his shades and becomes Sharp Tierney.
Okay, let's give you some numbers, something that a lot of shows will not do because, quite frankly, they're terrible at this. Most shows are. 7 years of evidence here. 7 years of making picks. 371 wins. This is just me. 308 losses. 27 pushes. That is obviously against the spread. It's a pretty healthy 54.4%. Anything above 51, 52%, you're obviously making VIG money. You got to incorporate the VIG, blah, blah, blah. 371, 308, and 27 all time in the 7 years of the program. Last year, by the way, 58, 43, and 2. Okay, so let's go. First up, college, Syracuse. Hey, Tiki's doing this game. Come on, Teak, bring me some luck, brother. Syracuse at UNC. Over under 65.5. Now, by the way, this opened at 64, so there's been slight movement in terms of over under there, which is ironic because I'm actually going the other way, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to take the under. Give me the under 65.5 here. I sense there's a little. Tiki's got a lot of enthusiasm for the Tar Heels. I'm not saying that it's fully unjust, that it's not without some justification here, but I think there's a little too much enthusiasm for a team that. Let's face it, last year, I know that they finished strong and they've got some mojo coming into the season. They got a good quarterback. But at one point, North Carolina was 4-6 last year, all right? So, to me, it's very hard to back a team with great monetary enthusiasm. And for this to go over, because I don't think Syracuse will score enough to tilt it over, you're investing a lot in Carolina to just come out and be incredibly proficient offensively. They'll win the game, for sure. I like the under, so I'm going to go under 65.5 between Syracuse and UNC. Up next, Tulane at South Alabama. South Alabama's getting 8.5 points. What's their nickname? First of all, D-Cell, what's their nickname? Come on, what's South Alabama's? Do you know? You don't know, do you?
I literally have no idea.
Very few people know. The Jaguars. Now, the Jags, I'm not here to tell you something that doesn't make any sense. They weren't very good last year. They were 2-10, but they played a lot better the last month of the season. They lost by 2. They lost by 10. They actually won a game. Now, here's what caught my eye. The sharp money is pouring in on the Jags, and it's been pouring in on the Jags late. This line opened with Tulane laying 11 points. It has now been bet down nearly, and right now it's 8.5. You could probably get it at 8. 3 points either way. That's a lot of money coming in. I believe the sharps are right here, and I'm going to take South Alabama. I think they're undervalued. I think Tulane, they're not good enough to be giving a lot of teams almost double-figure points here. South Alabama was pretty good last week to get their – they played. They've already played. They got some reps. Give me South Alabama. I'll take the 8.5. Moving on. Game number 3, college. I've got the Duke Blue Devils at Notre Dame over under 54. Now, this opened at 54. It stays at 54. Listen, last year the Irish won 38-7. And that's obviously 45 points, which you would need more this year to get to 54. I like the under here. I don't think Notre Dame needs to really empty the bag. They're just infinitely better than Duke. I think they could get away with being relatively conservative, relatively benign, kind of feeling something like 40-10-ish, 37-14-ish. So two of the first three games, I don't love playing unders because in essence you're rooting for something not to happen, and that's a boring way to watch a game. But this isn't about, you know, the theater of the game. This is about winning, and right now I think it's going to go under. Give me the under 54 Notre Dame and Duke. Up next, the last college game, Clemson at Wake Forest. Now, the Deacons are getting 33 points. Here's a stat that makes you think, well, I got to go with Clemson, right? The Tigers have covered 19 of their last 27 ACC games against the spread in the conference, obviously. But this is a similar theory for me pertaining to Notre Dame. Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, I don't think they need to play that much here. Wake Forest was really good last year with a 5 or 6-0 to start. Then they just imploded. Clemson's miles better than Wake Forest, all right? Who historically has been pretty good on defense the last couple of years. But I just think that Clemson gets out of Dodge quick. They win, they jump on them, and then they kind of cruise a little bit. Again, don't have to empty the bag. Let me just get up. Let me get to week 2 healthy. Let's get our stars out. When you get stars out, the scoreboard usually stops moving. Give me the Deacons. I'm taking the Deacons to cover a hefty number at home, even with no fans. Demon Deacons, Wake Forest, plus 33. NFL. Couple of divisional games out of the chute. The Browns are getting 8.5 points at the Ravens. Now, first of all, I've got the Browns as a playoff team, as the wild card team. I've got the Steelers winning this division. I've got the Ravens coming in second. I've got the Browns and the Ravens both as wild card teams. Always fun divisional matchups, especially for a team with something to prove, the Browns. You could say the Ravens have something to prove after the playoff meltdown. I got you. I'll give you that. We'll see what Lamar has out of the chute. MVP 2 in a row, I don't think so. I think he regresses slightly this year. I believe that this new coaching staff will be great for Baker Mayfield. I'm not taking him on the money line. I'll happily take the 8.5, and I will roll to the bank with the Browns covering and hanging tight and playing crisp, efficient football. You got Conklin on the offensive line. You drafted Jedrick Wills, another offensive lineman. You brought in 40% of an upgrade for an offensive line. But all those skill guys, it's going to be a fun game on CBS, and I think the Browns certainly cover. That's a lot of points, 8.5. All right, my Jets. Jets are getting 6.5 points up in Buffalo, so no crowd up in Buffalo is obviously advantageous to the Jets here. Denzel Mims, the kid we all want to watch play from Baylor, hurt his good hamstring today. He might be out a month. Who knows what's going on with him? And the Bills are undeniably better. I got the Bills winning this division here, no question. But to me, you know, the Jets, those offensive line tweaks, this is always a tough, tight series. They lost to the Bills last year in week 1 by a point, 17-16. I think Quinnen Williams has a much better second season. Can't have a worse, you know, he wasn't that good as a rookie. I think he's ready to start playing some ball. Again, like the Browns, not saying that the Jets win. The Bills are absolutely better and will be better all year. I do think the Jets find a way to cover, and I do think that the Sam Darnold-Chris Herndon hookup is something to watch from a fantasy point of view. Chris Herndon, if he's healthy, is a difference maker at tight end. I think Le'Veon Bell plays a lot better this week and this year. Packers-Vikes in Minnesota, Green Bay. This is a 3-point game. I've got the Vikes winning the division. I don't love the Packers this year, but I've got the Packers covering this game. I'm going to take the Packers +3 here. The Vikings lost a lot on defense. They lost a cornerback. Hunter's not playing. I mean, those are two important pieces right here for Aaron Rodgers to theoretically exploit. Do they win? They could. Do they cover? I think they do. I've got the Greg. Now you're starting to hear these stories, these good vibes where Aaron Rodgers is really feeling his young coach. They're on the same page. That emboldens me further. I'll take Green Bay, and I'll take the 3 points, and I'll see what happens in the stadium when it's packed, which is a real advantageous setup for Minnesota. It's cavernous. It's empty. Rodgers will be motivated. I think the Packers cover the 3. All right, this game's going to be a lot of fun. Seattle at the Falcons. Now, this one's in Atlanta. The over-under is 49. Get ready for fireworks. Line up everywhere. Go north, young man. Go vertical. A lot of throws down the field. Falcons have a new tight end. Watch Calvin Ridley pop. Once they got rid of Mohamed Sanu, the last 5 games in terms of usage rate and production, Calvin Ridley was phenomenal. Remember, he had 3 touchdowns, 1 game as a rookie. Calvin Ridley's getting ready to become a superstar, and you already have a superstar in Jones. I think Matt Ryan's ready for a good season. You know I love Russell Wilson, the most disrespected, overlooked, great player of all time. Not a single MVP vote. It's a joke. So this scoreboard's going to be ringing early and often. Give me the over in the Seattle Falcons game. The number's 49. That might tick to 50. 50 in a hook at some point. So if you like this, probably get it now. I think it gets money late, favorable towards the over. So you might want to look at that. And finally, hey, none of these are easy. Number one, it's week one. Number two, it's a pandemic. I don't know what the hell's going to happen. So do proceed, even though I'm confident, proceed with caution. This is the watch. I'll lose this one. This is like the only game where I see absolute route written all over it. If you've noticed, I've taken a lot of points, you know, +6.5, +8.5, +3 with the Green Bay Packers. I'm laying the wood, and I'm laying 8, and I'm going to bet that the Colts just dismantle and smash the Jaguars. They've just lost too many good players from all over, especially on defense. The Colts' offensive line is outstanding. Darius Leonard, outstanding. You brought in Buckner. You brought in Rhodes. I love your coach. Rivers is going to be better than Brissett. I'm laying the 8, and I'm cruising, and I think that the Colts win this thing 30-7-ish, 27-10. All right, so here it is. In summation, week one, Sharp Tierney. We've got the under 65.5, Syracuse and UNC under. Tulane, South Alabama. Give me the Jags getting 8.5 points. I'm going to ride South Alabama in this game. Duke at Notre Dame, over under 54. I'm going under. Give me the under. Notre Dame gets up early, cruises, goes pretty vanilla. Same deal here with Clemson getting up early and going vanilla, which is why I think Wake Forest covers the 33. Give me the Deacons plus the big meaty spread there, 33. I've got the Browns +8.5 to hang with the Ravens. Give me my Jets +6.5 at the Bills. Packers +3 to handle business against the Vikings. A lot of points over 49, Seattle at the Falcons. And as I just said, I've got the Colts laying the 8 and laying out the Jaguars in week one to beat up on Jacksonville. That's our story. There you go. Hopefully we get some picks there. Hopefully we get some winners. Week one, you love starting hot. You know, 7 years of evidence. I've given you a lot of winners, but you got to remain humble. You never know. It's a strange offseason. Have fun. Don't overspend your means. Enjoy the football. Have an outstanding weekend. Safe, sensible, sane. We'll see you. Be well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.